Paul came under a lot of attack. If you bring the Word of God to bear upon someone's life, unless they're open and receptive, their tendency will be to try to find fault with you. If you're witnessing to someone and you're saying to them, you know, you ought to be saved, you're not right with the Lord, his first reaction, unless he's really open, will be to say, well, you're not perfect yourself. What are you doing preaching to me, telling me? I mean, you know, what right do you have to say anything to me? And Paul was coming under attack, and this is why in these sections he is defending the fact that he is an apostle sent from the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It's doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent of the apostles, though I was nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they've practiced. Interesting chapter. Now, Paul is still defending his authority. And in this chapter, first of all, he talks about these spiritual visions that he had. We don't know exactly the circumstances that took place here, but he had an experience with the Lord when he says, I was caught up into heaven itself, in spirit. He says, I don't know what was happening. I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. I just know I had this tremendous spiritual experience. I was caught up into the very presence of God. And he said that he had this experience which he really can't express. Some of us might want to say, Paul, tell us now, explain to us, what did you see up there? What was your experience? Well, he says it's indescribable. I don't have the words to express it. I heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So it was a spiritual experience that he had. And he's mentioning this simply to show that as an apostle, the Lord in a special way has dealt with him and has revealed himself to him. So that they realize he does speak with authority. Now I'm going to just touch a little bit on dreams and visions. I heard of a preacher who was recently saying he was praying for his congregation that everyone would have dreams. Well, we all have dreams of one nature or another. I think he was thinking he wanted them to have some kind of spiritual revelation in their dreams. Where do these special dreams come from? Now, we all have dreams. When your mind is active, even while you're asleep, and you're maybe reliving experiences you've had. But in certain cases, especially in biblical times, special dreams came from God himself. If you go back to Daniel, and I want to just read Daniel 7 and verse 1, Daniel is describing what happened to him. And he says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And he goes on to describe this vision that he had, given from God, a special vision that was giving prophecy about the future. So there were dreams, there were visions that came from God. John in Revelation had revelations and visions from God. Now whether people are having those today is perhaps questionable. Certainly if you have a vision or a dream, you better be careful and check it out. Because Satan is also the source of visions and dreams. And I want to read Jeremiah 23. Back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 23. And we'll read here verses 25 to 27. Jeremiah is speaking for God, and God says, I've heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. So he says, here are these false prophets. They're coming to you and they're saying, I had this dream, I had this vision, now here's what God told me in this dream or in this vision. And Jeremiah says, it's not from God. The Lord says, this is not from God. These are lies. These are really from Satan himself. He's the father of lies. Now there have been people in more recent times that have had dreams or visions, they thought. Joseph Smith claimed to have these dreams and these visions. And this encounter with this angel. And he claimed to have seen these tablets of gold. And he claimed to have these visions. And as a result of it, he's written the Book of Mormon. and start a new religion, really. That dream, that vision, was certainly not of God, because it goes contrary to the scripture. And I want to read in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, where the prophet here says, you want to be skeptical, you need to question and be sure of what you're hearing. Verse 19 says, when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? He says, don't go to a spirit medium. Don't go to a fortune teller. Don't go to someone like this to find out the truth, to find out what's going to happen. He says, you should turn to the Lord. And he says, to the law and to the testimony. Go to the Word of God. He says, if they don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. There isn't the truth in them if they're not speaking according to this word. So here today we have all kinds of religions, all sorts of movements, people coming and saying, I had this dream, or I had this vision, I had this revelation. And we have to remember, Satan is the source of a lot of this going on. How do you test it? He says, go to the Word of God. Is it according to the Word of God, or is it going contrary to it? And if it's going contrary to the Word of God, you can be sure this isn't of God at all. So God has been the source of certain dreams or visions. Satan is the source of many more. And the test is Isaiah 20. And then I also point out, the source of some of our dreams is just ourselves. Maybe that experience you've, in your dream, you've gone back and you've relived some experience in time past. Maybe it was a good experience, maybe it was a bad experience. Some of us that went through the war had times when we'd have memories, we'd have dreams. Remember one time we were living in Chicago and I woke up in the middle of the night. Well, I was having a nightmare. Ran to the front of the apartment, and I was yelling, help, help, help. And my wife went after me and took me in tow and took me back to bed. And we thought nothing more about it. I was just, I don't know, something that happened during the war or whatever. The next morning, one of the neighbors said, you know, somebody was in trouble last night and the police came. They were driving up and down looking. Someone was yelling, help. Well, you can have dreams and they come out of your own head and out of your own experiences. So you don't want to think every dream is from God. And be careful of dreams. Go to the Word of God. You know, he says, you don't have to go to spirit mediums or people who claim to have dreams or visions or touch with God in a special way. He says, you've got the Word. And we've got a fuller Word than Isaiah has. The Word of God is complete. The Scripture is complete. It's all we really need. So Paul says, I've had these experiences with God, and I certainly am an apostle. I'm qualified to speak for the Lord. Now he talks about his thorn in the flesh in verses 7 to 10. He says, you know, I could have been proud of these experiences with God. It could have lifted me up, and I could have thought, I'm superior to some other people because I've had these special experiences with God. But he said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, a thorn in your body, if you get a thorn in your finger, that it's very irritating, but it isn't fatal. It won't kill you, but it's very irritating. This thing that Paul had, we don't know what it was, but it was very irritating. It maybe made him feel very sick and weak at times, but it wasn't fatal. We don't know what it was. Now, William Ramsey thought maybe it was malaria. He maybe picked up malaria and he'd have times when he'd have these attacks of malaria fever, but we don't know. Some have thought he had an eye problem, but that is perhaps more questionable because he had a very piercing gaze. Paul would look very piercingly at a person when he would speak at times. But at any rate, he points out here, whatever this was, the source of it's Satan. He says it's a messenger of Satan. This sickness I have, this physical ailment I have, is something from Satan. But I think if you go back to Job, you'll see that God permits Satan to work in this world. And let's go back and read there in Job chapter 2. It's very interesting. Gives us a little insight into what's going on in the spiritual world. Remember, Job has had all kinds of problems. He was wealthy. He lost his flocks and his herds. He had a large family. And there was this, like a cyclone or a tornado came through and wrecked the house in which his children were, and he lost his children. Now, through all this, the devil was trying to get to him, was trying to break him down. And it says, well, Job didn't sin. He didn't fail. He, in verse 20 of the previous chapter, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So Job stood that test well. Lost everything he had, lost his family. He worshipped God. He says, God has given, God's taken away. I'm going to trust Him regardless. Now that's faith. It's easy to trust the Lord when everything's going well. But when things are not going well, then to just cling to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I'm trusting You regardless of circumstances. This is what Job did. Now, in chapter 2, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. He just takes us into the courts of heaven, and he says, here, different angels are coming, and Satan comes. And the Lord says to Satan, where do you come from? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro through the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skins for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. You stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Job took for himself a potsherd, that's a broken piece of a pot, with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. His wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. He said to her, you speak like one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? Shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, it's amazing when you think of this man, Job, and the response that he made through all this. Now, Job got to the point in his trouble where he wished he was dead. And he wished he hadn't been born. He says, may the day have been cursed, the day that I was born. Life has been not been what I'd hoped it to be. But he never cursed God. He never turned against God. He never defied God. His wife says, curse God and die. The way God's treating you, you ought to just tell him off. Tell him you're through with it. And Job said, you're a foolish woman. I'm not going to do it. Now that's faith in the midst of tremendous adversity. And the point, though, that is, this was an activity of Satan that was permitted by God to test Job. And in Paul's case, he calls this physical problem he had, whatever it was, a messenger of Satan. Because God isn't the source of evil. He isn't the source of of sickness. He's not the source of death. He's the one who gives us every good and perfect gift. Now, there are times in life when things happen. I think we should remember that. I don't think we would say are directly Satan's activity. Sometimes things happen where they're just accidents, part of living in this world. If I'm on a long trip and I get very, very tired, I've been driving 12 hours, and I'm starting to nod off, and I don't stop by the side of the road and get a little rest, and I keep going. I just say, well, I want to get home. I don't want to just stay on the road. And I just push myself. Well, I doze off, and suddenly I come to, and I'm going down the median, and I'm hitting for a big bridge abutment, and I hit it, and there's a terrible accident. And I lose a leg. Well, I'd have to say it was just an accident. I shouldn't have pushed myself that hard. And I wouldn't especially blame Satan for that particular thing. I just point that out so that we don't think everything that happens to us is may not be good in this life is necessarily Satan's activity. But there are times when illness, things like this come, and it was a messenger of Satan. Now, Paul prayed. He says, I prayed, pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from it. Now, this was a thing that was very painful, I take it, and very annoying, because Paul speaks of it like something that buffeted him, something that hits him. Just like you go up to a man and slap him in the face. And he says, this buffeted me, a messenger of Satan. So it was something he wanted to be free of. He didn't enjoy the pain. He didn't enjoy the discomfort. He wanted to be well. He pleaded with the Lord three times. Did the Lord hear him? Yes. Did the Lord heal him? No. Now, today there's a lot of this teaching that if you're sick as a Christian, it's a lack of faith. And that if you have the faith, there's no reason but what you should be well. But I don't think any of us want to particularly question Paul's faith. I don't want to think we want to charge him with unbelief. He prayed three times. There have been times we've prayed for people, and they weren't healed. Now, we can rejoice when people are healed in answer to prayer. But I just want to point this out to you. Don't lose heart, and don't think God isn't hearing, and don't think that He doesn't love you if you don't get well. Paul prayed three times, and the Lord said, I'm not going to make you well. My grace is sufficient for you. I want you to serve me. I want you to go on for me in the face of this handicapping illness that you have. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So we want to emphasize this. Yes, faith, at times, the prayer of faith will heal the sick, but not always. And you remember in James 5:16, he says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So when we're sick, we should pray. And we should believe, yes, God is able to heal. But we should recognize also that there are times when God does not heal. Christians die ultimately. And some very godly Christians are sick, have various problems. My own mother was a dear Christian woman. She had tuberculosis for years. It was in her lungs. Then it went into her spine, and she finally died. And she prayed. She had faith, and she was not healed. So I think we want to have balance in this whole area. And God says, my grace is going to shine forth through you. You're going to grow spiritually, Paul, through this thing. You're going to be a stronger Christian because of this thing. And I want to go back to Romans 5 and just read a couple of verses here. He says here in verse 3, not only that, we also glory in tribulations, in troubles, difficulties, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So he says, these difficulties, as you respond in a right way, trusting the Lord, they're going to make you a stronger person as a Christian. They'll produce endurance, character, hope. So Paul is trying to emphasize here that respond in the right way when you go through problems, and you'll become a growing, stronger Christian. Now, Paul speaks of the signs of an apostle, too. In verses 11 and 12, he speaks of the signs of an apostle. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you, with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, the Scripture emphasizes that the apostles, in a special way, did many miracles. Jesus chose 12 to be with him, and then he sent them out to preach, and he gave them authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to do many wonderful, amazing things. And Paul was numbered among those apostles. He says here he did the signs of an apostle. Now, today, there are some groups that emphasize signs and wonders. John Wimber started the Vineyard Fellowship, and the emphasis there is God is the same, and today we should have signs and wonders like they had in New Testament days. And they speak of it as power evangelism. We should do signs and wonders. That'll get the attention of people, and people will be saved. Well, it did catch the attention of people. Paul time and again healed, and it was a tremendous display of the power of God. Peter and John going into the temple healed a man who's a lame person for many years, and he stands up, he leaps, he walks. Imagine, he's never walked, and he walked well, without having to stumble and learn to walk. What a miracle. What an amazing miracle. And it gathered, a huge crowd gathered, because they knew him. He was a beggar at the gate of the temple. Huge crowd gathered, and Peter preached the gospel to him, and people were saved. It was a tremendous sign. The apostles did these powerful signs that attested the fact this message is from God. Hebrews 2 emphasizes this. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, therefore we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? In other words, by the apostles. This message began to be preached by the Lord Jesus. It was carried on by the apostles. And it says in verse 4, God bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So these signs, these wonders, these miracles were really the evidence God was saying, this message is for me, this message is true, better listen, pay attention. Now, the signs of the apostles were unique. No one today, None of the faith healers so-called today or the miracle workers today, none of them can do the signs of an apostle. You don't see them going into these hospitals like Craig Hospital in Denver, where they have 80 or more people with spinal injuries. You don't see any of them going in there and walking out, followed by all of these people walking and with all of their normal functioning, their limbs as they should. You don't see it happening. And so we have to say the signs of the apostles ceased with the first century. Now we still pray for healing, the prayer of faith. But you don't see people coming with the same authority and ability the apostles had, where people could be healed and people could be raised from the dead and all those miracles, those amazing miracles that were done. So we want to have balance in this and realize that the gifts of the apostles were unique. Now the last part of the chapter, Paul is emphasizing, you know, some of you are critical of me, but you know that when I was with you, serving you, I served you unselfishly. I wasn't a burden to you. I didn't pass a collection basket around and say, here, you got to help me. I'm the Apostle Paul. Support me. He didn't ask him for any money. He preached the word faithfully and freely. Remember the Lord Jesus said when he sent the apostles out, freely you've received, freely give. And when we give out the gospel, people ought to hear it freely without being asked for money. He says, I was concerned for your spiritual growth. He says, we do all things, beloved, for your upbuilding in verse 19. Paul just says, I want to see you as Christians grow. I want to see you become strong in the Lord. I wasn't there trying to get anything from you or use you. He says, my only concern was to see you helped. And so this was his attitude. And as he comes to the end of the chapter, he says, when I come again, he says, I hope it's going to be a peaceful time. He says, I hope the church discipline will be taken care of by then. They'd had problems in the church. They'd had fornication. They'd had factions among the Christians. There were different problems. And Paul was writing to them to say, look, you need to clean up your act. You need to get things together. And he says, when I come, he says, I hope that there'll be real peace and there'll be happiness. I hope there won't be any difficulty at all as I come and preach the word to you and spend time with you. Paul's defense of his apostleship. You know, as we think of the gospel that he preached, as we think of that message, it's the same message we're preaching today. It's the apostles' teaching. It's the teaching of the Lord Jesus, the same message. And as we think of that, we should realize it has the same authority. This message that we can give out and we can hear today has the very authority of the Lord Jesus behind it. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, you go and you preach. And so as we think of the word of God and the message we're giving out, we can say to people, you need to respond. You need to listen. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to ask yourself, am I saved? He, in Hebrews 2, says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You're not going to escape the judgment of God if you neglect it. If you just turn away, if you don't listen. You need to ask yourself today, do I know that I'm saved? Do I know that I'm forgiven? Do I know that Christ is my Savior? If I should die today, do I know I'd go to be with the Lord? Am I sure? Because this message comes from God Himself. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And as we come to the close of this meeting, we just say to you, you need to pay attention. You need to ask yourself, am I saved? If not, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to open your heart to Him. You need to say to him, I'm a sinner. I'm tired of my sin. I want to be saved. I want to begin to follow the Lord Jesus. Wonderful thing to be saved. To know your sins are forgiven. And to know God is with you. Through all the circumstances of life, it may be that you'll have a thorn in the flesh. You'll have some illness. You'll have some sickness. You'll have problems as you go through life, various problems. But the Lord, if you have the Lord with you, He says, my grace is sufficient. You can make it. The Lord will see you safely through. And that's great to know.